The wedding season is nearly upon us, and if you're planning one, you're probably knee-deep in details. Hi, I'm Rob West. Yes, there are hundreds of items to sort out before the big day, but experience shows that one of the most important things is overlooked. That is, how will you and your spouse handle money? I'll talk about it today with Howard Dayton, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, I can't think of a better person to talk about how couples should handle money than our guest, Howard Dayton. He literally wrote the book on it. It's called Money and Marriage God's Way. And Howard, such a delight to have you with us today.
Rob, it's always great to be with you.
Well, we love it, Howard. And the very first thing you advise couples planning a wedding is to give complete disclosure with their finances. Let's start here. This is a critical idea, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, you should be fully transparent with your finances and make this commitment to each other. No secrets about money.
Yes.
Period.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so swap your financial statements to disclose all your assets and debts, trade credit reports and credit scores, and talk over any financial struggles you've experienced. This is big, Rob, because when you're honest, even if there's bad news, it builds trust. Your fiance will appreciate your integrity.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, Howard, it goes without saying this has to continue throughout your marriage. Financial infidelity is a bigger problem than we probably realize, right?
Absolutely. I mean, how many times have you had a caller where, you know, they've confessed, you know, I haven't been handling money in a way that my spouse knows about. And you really need to focus on no secrets about money when you're married.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Well, when we've gotten that one out of the way, the next item is talking through your financial goals, values, and expectations. So help us out with that one.
Well, Rob, you really want to get to know each other, learn each other's financial personalities and attitudes, then answer questions such as, what do we want to accomplish in our financial lives? What things mean the most to you? It's just really important to have this conversation.
Howard, in addition to goals, the word values is there for a very specific reason. That is, if we set goals without first starting with our values as believers, we may not get to the right goals. Isn't that true?
That's exactly right. Values are really the foundation.
Yeah, all right. Now, you've compiled a list of questions you should ask each other as an engaged couple. So let's start working our way through these, Howard.
Well, I got to give you a heads up, Rob. It's a long list, but here are some of the critical ones that you should ask your spouse. Who's going to be the breadwinner? If both are breadwinners, what happens when we have children? Does the wife stay at home to raise them? How much of your income do you want to give? Who do you prefer to give to? Your church, ministries, the poor and needy? You need to talk these things over. And then how much of our income do we want to save? And then I love this question. What's your attitude towards debt? And is paying off debt a really high priority for you?
Yes.
Then who will handle the bookkeeping and paying the bills? And how often should we meet to review our finances?
Wow, what an important list of questions there, Howard. These are things that we might think, well, we can just wait and deal with that when we get married. But why is it so important to start talking through giving and the breadwinner and the bookkeeping before marriage?
Well, you don't want to have surprises. That's the bottom line. I think one of the healthiest things that I've done with Lynn, we made a list of issues that we wanted to talk to, and you know, front and center were financial issues to be able to share our heart with one another to find out exactly what motivates us and drives us.
Yeah. And so much of this, Howard, can be shaped by how we were raised with regard to money, some of our earliest memories, how our parents handled it. All that plays into your money personality today, doesn't it?
It sure does. And do you have a biblical perspective of the money that you've been entrusted with? I mean, that's huge, because I can say in my own life, Rob, what I do today has been largely shaped not by my parents so much as what's God's word tell us.
That's so critical. Well, we're just getting started here. When we come back, we'll talk about a money date. What is that and what role can that play? What about some other questions like how are we going to handle two becoming one in our finances? And what about our lifestyle? How do we settle on that? We're talking with Howard Dayton today, founder of Compass Finances God's Way and the author of Money and Marriage God's Way. Your questions around the corner as well at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Three little brothers loved playing in their basement. After all, that's where Mama and Papa kept all the old toys. Every day they'd go down to play, but down there in the basement, there was also soot from the furnace and lots of it. These three little boys couldn't resist. But before they could come back upstairs, they needed to be clean. This is what David reflected on in Psalm 15. Who can dwell in the Lord's presence? Only one who is clean, with a blameless walk. In other words, no one. But just like those three little boys, we have to be cleaned, washed white in the blood. And then we can, and we will, dwell with the Lord forever. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless, for the most part. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our guest today, Howard Dayton, one of my great friends and mentors, former host of this program. He's the founder of Compass Finances God's Way and the author, among many other books, of Money and Marriage God's Way. And that's our topic today. It's wedding season. And so we're talking about the preparation you need to do as an engaged couple to prepare for money in marriage. And Howard, this is a critical one. We all know the stats. 70% of couples will have conflict about money. And I think what you're instructing us in today can really set us up for success so that we're not a part of that statistic when we're married.
Absolutely. And the sooner that you begin to communicate with transparency, with honesty with each other, the better. Remember my mantra, no secrets about money when you're talking about your wife or your fiance.
Exactly right, and so critical. Howard, you mentioned a couple of questions before the break that engaged couples should ask one another. One of those is, what percentage of our income
do you want to give? And where do you want to give? Why is this whole topic of giving so important to be addressed before marriage?
Well, it's on God's heart, Rob. That's the bottom line. He encourages us to be givers. He knows that it is critical for our spiritual health to be generous people. And for the husband and wife, in many cases, in most cases, probably they're going to come from different backgrounds, yes. Maybe with a family that's been generous, maybe with a family who has not been generous. So it's really important to discuss this. And I would say this is a good time for the folks to, you know, dive into the Bible, to get a book that would be helpful to for both of them to learn together. What God says about handling money and especially about the issue of generosity.
Yeah, that's such a critical one. The other that you mentioned, Howard, among several, is what is your attitude toward debt? How will we use it? And is paying it off a high priority? You know, this area of debt is one of the biggest problem areas in terms of not only the bondage that comes with it, but conflict in marriage. So how do you get started on the right foot with regard to debt?
Well, you know, Rob, if a couple has a lot of debt, there's a lot of stress that comes with that. It's bondage,
yeah.
And especially if they're having great difficulty in servicing that debt and making yes. progress in getting out of debt. So the earlier the couple can agree to do everything they can to eradicate their debt and stay out of it,
yeah.
The better.
Yeah,
it
so
just relieves so much stress in a family. I mean, I haven't had debt since the late 70s, thanks to God's word.
Yes.
And just all the struggles and arguments that we never had
yeah.
Because we just made that decision as a couple. We would live a more modest lifestyle than we would have if we had a lot of debt.
That's right.
But it was worth it.
Yeah. I love it, and I know it's paid huge dividends in your life. I've certainly seen that to be the case as well. Now, we talked about reviewing our finances together as a couple. That's something most couples just don't do or think about. You've been recommending this for years. Tell us your thinking there.
Well, I think it's super important for us to have a regular money date.
Yeah.
That's when you get together and go over the week's income, spending, how well you've kept up with the budget that you've established. It is just so important for the husband and wife, even before they're married, to yeah. stay on track. It helps them be accountable to one another when they have this money date. And it doesn't have to be a, oh boy, here's the money day. This isn't yeah. going to be fun.
Right.
I mean, you should seek to make it fun and rejoice when you make progress. That's one of the really key elements of a money date. You set a goal. We're going to pay off this debt. And then when you reach that goal, celebrate it. I mean, do something crazy. Go out for a milkshake together. I mean, whatever it might be celebrate progress that you're making.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, Howard, there's a few other key questions that you recommend future couples ask one another. Share a few of those with us.
Well, I think the most important one, Rob, is that how can we become one in our finances? When you marry, the Lord wants the two of you to become one in every area. So I recommend that you combine your finances early, work together to save and pay off any debt as quickly as possible. And then secondly, address what are your expectations concerning our lifestyle?
Mm.
What do you want for a home, furniture, cars, clothes? I mean, you name it, so that you can get on the same page as early as possible. And then third, what do you think we ought to spend for the wedding?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a quick story.
All right.
I made the decision that with my daughter, I was going to offer or set boundaries of $8,000 for your wedding. And with the provision that anything she came in under that would be used for the down payment on their first home.
Okay.
And so she came in at $3,500. And I was so proud of them. I mean, they had friends from her college class on photography take the pictures of the wedding. It was just a wonderful experience for them to actually use a budget because they were motivated we need more money for the down payment on yes. our first house. And that was that really got them on the same page, helped get them on the same page.
I love that. All right, there's a few others, Howard. You talk about putting an estimated spending plan together. Why is that so important?
Yeah, spending plan, a budget. You just learn so much about each other when you craft that spending plan, because it really shows one another what your mate's heart is. Secondly, you both need to learn God's way of handling money. If you don't already, it's one of the most important steps an engaged couple can take, is to learn what the Lord says about handling money. It radically changed our marriage when we learned that. You just can't overemphasize how important it is to have the God of the universe caring enough about you that he's given you guidelines and principles on the handling of the resources that you're going to be entrusted with for the rest of your lives.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Howard, if you find that you're misaligned on one of these, lifestyle, giving, how you're going to handle money, where do you go next?
Well, it's a good idea if you have access to a counselor who can help you walk through that, or a certified kingdom advisor. I mean, I would be looking for somebody who has expertise and a biblical perspective of how to handle resources. It's just really helpful often to have a third party, Rob, who can help you navigate an issue where it's not so personal. You've got somebody like a certified kingdom advisor who's really an expert in this area and can be a huge help to a young couple.
Howard, we've got just a few seconds left. I know you've taught us to make prayer really a critical part of your money relationship as a couple. Talk about that as our last point here.
Yes, whenever you have a money date, Rob, you need to open in prayer and end in prayer. And specifically, when you end in prayer, if there's some issues that really are thorny issues or exciting issues, make that a part of your prayer.
Wise advice, Howard. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
My pleasure. Love it, Rob.
All right. Grateful for you. That's Howard Dayton, folks. You can read a lot more in his book, Money and Marriage, God's Way. All right. Your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Much more just around the corner. Stick around.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
One of the biggest examples of hypocrisy today comes from those who claim to want inclusion and tolerance for all. After speaking at San Francisco State University in defense of women's rights in sports, Riley Gaines was attacked by a mob of pro-transgender radicals. She was forced to barricade herself in a classroom for several hours before police could get her safely away. Join us in letting Riley know she isn't alone and her courage hasn't gone unnoticed. Visit afa.net today.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, time to turn the corner from money and marriage to anything financial. We'd love to hear from you today with lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's begin today in Texas. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
My question is, I've been married for 28 years. And my husband doesn't want to pray or do budget or behave with the money. So I don't know what to do, you know. If he doesn't want to do that, then what do I do?
Yeah, well, you know, the most important thing is in your marriage, God wants oneness, which is so much bigger than just this financial conversation. Has he ever committed his life to Christ?
He think he did, but no, the proof is no.
Mm-mm. Okay. And so that's obviously the issue really at the core of this. And, you know, the Bible is very clear. We need to pray and you can live out your witness and how you conduct yourself. And, you know, we see in the New Testament that that even can spur him on to wanting to seek the Lord. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's going to have to open his eyes and his heart to his need for a Savior and understand his separation from God as a result of our sin nature. And when he trusts in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin through his shed blood on the cross, that's how we can be reconciled back to the Father through what's called substitutionary atonement, the payment of the penalty for our sin that we can't do on our own accord. There's nothing we can do to earn our way, but Christ did it for us, and it's extended as a free gift. And so I think, and I suspect you already do this, but making that a matter of prayer, living out your witness, praying that the Holy Spirit would open his eyes to his need for a Savior, hopefully, you know, attending church together. Will he attend church with you?
Yes, because he thinks he's Christian. That's the sad part.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully through Bible-believing churches and Bible-based teaching, he'll be confronted with the true reality as a part of that teaching that perhaps he has it. Now, if there was a time where he surrendered his life to Jesus in true repentant faith and accepted the free gift of the Lord, then he is saved. Now, the question is, has that changed his life and what is he doing with that? And that's a part of our journey and our Christian walk. And again, being around a community of believers, being in a Bible-believing church is a key part of that because as he's hearing truth and hopefully you're modeling that and he's in the Word, whether that's through the teaching of the Word on Sunday and hopefully beyond that on his own study, you know, that's really key. Perhaps in addition to that, if there are breakdowns in your oneness as a married couple, seeking out some counseling together, some marriage counseling. He may not be willing to go to that. But at the end of the day, Kathy, I think this just needs to be a matter of prayer and just trusting that God will allow him to open his eyes and see his need for a Savior. That's something ultimately, that's a decision he's going to have to make. You can't do that for him, but you can live it out in your own authentic faith. And really, the financial issue is a subset of that, because if he's not surrendered his life to Jesus and he's not living that out, then that's going to cause breakdowns in your marriage. And one of those areas perhaps is this area of finance. So let's just pray together that he would either for the first time surrender his life to Christ or understand that perhaps even though he's made that decision in the past, he's not living that out. And as we all need to, he'll be convicted in the way that allows him to respond in pursuing Christ-likeness, like we all need to and struggle with because of the fact that we're sinners. And maybe through church or a counselor, if he'd be willing to do that, that could create the environment where that, in fact, happens. I know this is challenging, and so I would just continue to pray, seek the Lord, ask fervently for the Lord to intervene, grab a hold of his heart, and let's just trust that that will happen sooner rather than later. We appreciate you calling today. I know this is a difficult issue weighing heavily on you, and so we'll certainly join you in prayer for that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with your questions and comments on anything financial. Let's head to Arkansas. Killian, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask you a question. My mom, I really want to help my mom out. And here's the situation. My dad, he passed in 2021, and he had a little bit of money left from his 401k. And my mom, she's a single mom. She has a job where she gets paid, you know, fairly decent amount of money. Her house is paid off. Her car note is about to be paid off, and she doesn't have a whole lot of debt. And one of the things that my dad had told me before he had passed, he told me, you know, he said, son, take care of your mom. And, you know, that's just been something that's just been, you know, on my mind. And like, I know that this is a Christian based company that helps people out to give them biblical wisdom on investments and finances. And I want to be able to set my mom up with something where she'll be able to have money coming in, you know, every single month where she don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So is she retired at this point or is she working?
She's working.
Okay. And how long do you imagine she'll continue to work?
At this point right now, I'm going to say maybe another 10 years.
Okay.
Maybe and another 10 years.
Yeah, what was the inheritance, Killian? How much? Or what did she receive from, you know, what did she and your dad have that is now under her responsibility?
Well, it's, I probably would say it was right at a six-figure amount.
About 100,000?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And does she have other retirement assets?
Not that I know of.
Okay. And does she have any emergency savings?
She just has like the money coming in from her check.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about where you go from here. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer.
AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear from you today with your calls and questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Just before the break, we were talking to Killian about helping his mom. She has her dad passed away. Her husband, she has access to about $100,000 in assets. She's working with a good income. She's paid off or eliminated about all of her debt, including her home. So, Killian, that's a great thing, obviously, because that's going to keep her lifestyle spending as minimal as possible, which is really key. But if I understand correctly, other than her monthly cash flow coming from her job, she really doesn't have anything in the way of emergency savings, and really this is her only asset, the $100,000 that you said she got roughly from your dad's 401k, and she doesn't have any other retirement assets through her own company-sponsored plan or otherwise. That's all correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I think the next step is for her to probably set aside, number one, 3 to 6 months expenses in an emergency fund. Now, this came to her in a retirement plan, right? It was in a 401k, the $100,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that needs to stay there. What about her monthly spending? Given that she's now debt-free, is she able to save anything? Does she have any surplus at the end of the month?
Not really.
Yeah. So that's the challenge. I mean, this money should be invested. I don't think she should pull it out and create a taxable event, but she really needs to, you know, go back to that spending plan. And maybe this is where you could be of help to her, or we could connect one of our CERT CFCs, that's a Certified Christian Financial Counselor, to her at no cost. That would just be our gift if you think that would be helpful. And really work on her spending plan to figure out, are there areas she can cut back? You know, what would it look like for her to create margin so that first she could start building up an emergency fund of, let's say, 3 months' expenses, and then second, take that and redirect it to additional long-term savings? Because the key for her is going to be to maximize this next decade to be able to set aside as much as she can in long-term savings, hopefully in a retirement plan through work or maybe through an IRA, whatever that might be, so that in addition to the $100,000, she builds up more in the way of assets so that when she retires, whether she's taking her own Social Security or her spousal benefit from her husband who's passed away, whichever's higher, that plus an income stream from you know, this 401k from your dad and her own could be enough to support her for the rest of her life. But the key is to be able to save now while she's still working. So I think two things are in order. Number one is either you help her with that budget, or we could bring a certified Christian financial counselor to the table to help either her or both of you together work on her spending plan. And then secondly, I'd probably reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor on our website, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. And that would be someone who could help to manage the $100,000 so that it could be maximized and grow over the next 10 years while she's still working and beyond, to be able to maximize the value of that. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, sir.
Okay.
Perfect sense.
Good.
I do got another question to ask you.
Yeah.
If I'm interested in getting to the field, like with some of the certified Kingdom financial advisors are in, do you have to already be an advisor from a company, and then going through the certified Kingdom advisory qualifications, or how does that work? Because I'm really interested in doing this type of work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'm delighted to hear that. And so there are a host of requirements in order to achieve the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, in addition to signing up for the educational program, which is about a 50 or 60 hour course, plus a proctored exam. You do have to meet, among other things, an experience requirement, and that comes from either 10 years full-time experience in financial services, or having one of the approved industry designations like certified financial planner, chartered financial advisor, chartered financial analyst, one of those. So if you don't have one of those designations, you'd either have to work in the business 10 years or go get one of those, like the CFP, which is kind of the gold standard on the secular side for financial planning. And then you could add on top of that the Certified Kingdom Advisor, which is all about bringing a biblical worldview of money to clients. To learn more, you can head to our website, Kingdom Advisors website, kingdomadvisors.com, and click Get Certified, and then you can read all about that. But there is that experience requirement that you would have to meet either through a designation or through years of experience. Does that make sense?
And that does. And for the information for my mom, would it be emailed to me, or would I have to call the number or something like that?
Yeah, so let's do this. Two ways, and it's a good question. You hold the line. Pat will get your information, and we'll connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor who will work with you and your mom on her budget at no cost. That'll just be our gift to you. So stay on the line. We'll get in touch with you about that. And then to find a certified Kingdom advisor to manage the 401k portfolio, you could go to our website, faithfi.com, and click find a CKA. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. We appreciate your call today. All the best to you, Killian, and thanks for walking alongside your mom in all of these things. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Texas. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi. I really appreciate you taking my call. I just want to let you know, I didn't think anybody could replace Dan Celia, but I think you're doing a very credible job in answering the questions that he would answer as well.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't know Dan personally, but have a tremendous amount of respect for the work that he did. I know he served the American Family Radio audience for a long time. There's a lot of folks that miss him dearly, but I appreciate those kind remarks.
Well, my question is, I'm 75. I've got a military retired pay. I've got a Texas teacher retirement pay, and, of course, my Social Security. So our net disposable income is pretty good. We're getting ready to relocate to where the grandkids are up in Montana, and we've managed to be blessed with the ability to probably pay cash for the house that we're going to build. Now, my question is, I have a little under $500,000 sitting in my bank account, but I've been getting a lot of notices and sort of email things on these online high-interest savings accounts. My mortgage company, PNC, offers 4.1%. Others, I think Apple Pay has just started their own.
That's right.
FDIC. And I'm wondering, what's your take on that? It's almost too good to be true, given what traditional savings and CDs are paying right now.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, it's just all a function, Richard, of what's happening with the Fed funds rate. So as interest rates have gone up because the Fed is trying to fight inflation and pull back on this near zero interest rate policy they've had for now more than a decade, plus the easy money and, you know, the quantitative easing and just all the different strategies they've had, which, you know, a lot of them have led directly to this inflationary environment we're in. Their attempt to fight that has caused the Fed funds rate to climb, which has caused interest rates that we're paying to go up, but it's also allowing the banks to pay out more as well. The challenge is it's relative, because with inflation as high as it is, you're still, you know, losing purchasing power even at 4%. But as long as you have FDIC insurance, which you would with your bank or any of the ones that you'd find at bankrate.com, like Marcus, even this new Apple savings account, then you're backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, and I'd say take full advantage of those rates. Stay on the line. We'll finish off the air, and we'll be right back.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Every day, FaithFi is working to meet people right where they are. Through our national radio program, app, and website, we're helping people put their faith in God and not in money and possessions. And we're encouraging and equipping Christians to have a passionate pursuit for sacrificially living and giving the money entrusted to them. If you believe in and have benefited from FaithFi, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Learn more about the FaithFi patrons membership at faithfi.com and click Give.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're delighted that you're here today, and we'll be back to your questions here in just a moment at 800-525-7000. But first, it's Friday. That's right, the end of another week. It goes so quickly, but we're always blessed to be joined on Fridays by our friend Jerry Boyer, who serves as our resident economist. He joins us with his market analysis and insights, and here during earnings season, also the work that he's doing in corporate engagement. Jerry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, my friend.
We're glad to have you here. Let's start with the markets and just get your sense of kind of where we find ourselves after a week's time since we've spoken.
Well, it's that thing that we've talked about since we've been doing these, the double-mandated Fed. And so every week, the markets are trying to figure out, you know, which persona is in charge. It's like Dr. Yeah. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And this week, it's the hawks. The head of the New York Fed gave a speech in Manhattan in which he said, kind of astonishingly, he said one thing that's clearly true. Inflation is still too high. He also said the economy is really very strong, which astonishes me. I'm sure he has a subscription to the Wall Street Journal. there's a spate of bad economic news that certainly seems to be pointing towards recession, if not a serious recession, at least a growth recession. Nevertheless, that was signaling that the Fed's going to hike. Right. And when that happens, that basically means the Fed is pulling money out of the system. It's pulling money out of the markets, and that drives the prices of things down. So the S&P is down, and the NASDAQ is down for the week, and the Dow's down, and the bond market's down. When stocks and bonds are both down the same week, that's one of the indicators that this is a matter of the Fed pulling money out of the system. Think about it. If you have the same amount of money in the system, people can move out of stocks into bonds. Stocks go down, bonds go up. That's pessimism. Or they can move out of bonds into stocks. Bonds go down, stocks go up. That's optimism. But when they're both going down, that means there's less water in the pool, right?
Yes.
That means there's less money, and that's because they're pulling money out of the system because the head of the New York Fed, who's influential, I mean, they're all supposed to be kind of equal, but they're some animals are more equal than others. And the New York Fed is a highly influential Fed, and if he says the economy's strong and we can hike and fight inflation, well, then the markets take that seriously, and they did, and that's why gold is down and the dollar up, and that's why the inflation-protected bonds went down more. It's your classic hawk week, down markets, disinflationary trades, anti-growth trades.
Yeah. Jerry, before we move on to the corporate engagement topic, what data are you watching? I mean, you remind us often that data is a gift. In fact, that's what the word means. And I know you're not always looking at the normal headline data that everyone else is. So what's most telling to you right now about the true state of our economy?
Well, market data to me is always more important than government data, because government data says this is what happened last month, or this is what happened last quarter. It's lagging. Imagine if you were trying to drive a car, but you could only use the rearview mirror. That wouldn't work very well.
No.
But of course, almost all economic analysis is done that way. It's almost all done through the rearview mirror, whereas markets are the windshield. You know, they're looking out there. Now, the problem is that's the future, and nobody knows the future but God. I mean, that's the first principle of finance. Nobody knows the future but God. The rest of us are guessing. Some guessers are better guessers than others, and the best guesser is all of us averaging together our guesses, and that's what shows up in markets. But when you're talking about traditional, you know, stuff that gets reported in the newspaper, not just market data, I think the closest thing to markets is the surveys of people who are running supply chains. So that's an obscure statistic. It's not GDP. It's not the stuff it's not consumer confidence. It is the people, I like to imagine them, you know, with a lot of post-it notes on the wall. That's because I'm old. I mean, now it's computers, but
sure.
like the guy or the gal, they're down there. They can see the loading dock. It's in view. They're tracking what's coming in, going out. Those surveys, there's a manufacturer's one and a non-manufacturer's one. That's my favorite of the not forward-looking. That's my favorite non-market indicator. It's like a mood ring right now because those people are in the know. My least favorite indicator are professional forecasters, economists like me, and CEOs at Davos, because anyone who's worked in the corporation world knows that the CEO is the last person to find out what's going on, especially if it's bad news. Bad news does not travel quickly up the hierarchy of a company. So when they get together for their big powwows, whether it's Davos or Aspen, you are giving me a really good glimpse at what things were like 6 months ago, not what things are like now.
Right.
So I like to go to markets and the people running the supply chain.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jerry. Well, thanks for that. All right, I know you've been really active as of late in some corporate engagement work, representing shareholders to some of the biggest companies across the country with their proxy votes, as well as shareholder meetings and board of directors meeting agenda topics. So what's new?
Well, next week, there's a lot going on next week, but let's just key in on one because there's only so much. I think the really big one culturally is Coca-Cola has its annual meeting on Tuesday, and there are basically two resolutions on the ballot that have to do with abortion. One of them is very directly an abortion resolution, pro-abortion. It's a study it resolution, but it's study it to see how bad it is to do business in pro-life states. So it's in essence, it's a way of getting these companies to do a report which says, well, it's really risky to do business in a state that, quote-unquote, restricts reproductive freedom. And then we know the game plan of this side. Once they say that, then they come back next year and say, well, then don't do business in that state. So it's a way to intimidate you know, nice labor market you have there in North Carolina. Shame if something were to happen. More Atlanta. Shame if your biggest corporate citizen were to start to move operations out of this state. So it's an attempt to use the proxy process to intimidate corporations into intimidating states. Now, I think it's going to go down in flames. These have not done well. The abortion politics have not been doing well in these ballots. I think that people are waking up now to the fact that what's been flying under the moniker of ESG, and I understand that's a debatable issue among Christians, all I'm saying is a lot that's riding on that train isn't the ESG of 10 or 15 years ago. It's essentially abortion and LGBTQ agenda, and that's showing up in Coca-Cola. And there's a number of meetings next week, of course, but I'd say that's the one I'd be focused on the most.
All right, interesting. Well, Jerry, we always appreciate your insights. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, resident economist here, but also the president of Boyer Research. All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got a little bit of time remaining here. We'll get to as many questions as we can. Let's head to Oklahoma. Tucker, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Tucker. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, yeah, I was just calling. I'm pretty young. I'm only 23 years old, and I've been married for about a year. I don't have any debt, and I have a decent amount of savings and put a decent amount in savings every month. And I would just like for my money to make more money, but I don't know anything about investing. And I was wondering if you had any tips or suggestions on how to do that and where to do that.
Yeah, I do. I'd be delighted to help you get started in that. So I love the fact that you're thinking about this now. It sounds like you're a young guy, newly married. You've got some savings and no debt. That's a great place to begin. A lot of young married couples are bringing a lot of debt into their marriages, and that's not, it's just a challenging place to start. It's just a reality, and you have to kind of manage through it. But we know that without good communication and without margin in your financial life, meaning living on less than you're bringing in, a conflict around money is a big issue. With regard to where you go from here, let's start with that savings. How much have you been able to put aside?
About $16,000.
Okay. And what do you all spend roughly on a monthly basis?
Roughly, our bills are about $1,500 a month, and that might be on the high side of
really
what our bills would be per month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you've got quite a bit already saved up. I mean, I would say typically we'd want, 3 to 6 months expenses in savings at $1,500. If that's what it is, that's only $9,000. I mean, let's say you're not counting everything, even the non-recurring things that don't come up like Christmas or birthday gifts or a semi-annual insurance payment. I mean, even if it was $2,000, that would be $12,000 in emergency savings. So really anything beyond that, you could start putting away for either specific savings goals. We want to buy a new car, another car at some point when their current car wears out. We'd like to do it without borrowing. So we set up a car savings fund and we start funding that. And maybe you'd take $4,000 of your $16,000, and that kind of starts that fund. Or if you want to buy a house, you're saving for a down payment. Those would be examples of goals. Beyond that, we want to be saving for retirement as well. Do you and your wife both work, or just you?
No, my wife will be finishing up school this year in May. She'll graduate, and then she'll be getting a job after that. So now, I just work.
Great. And do you have a retirement plan at work?
Yes, sir.
And are you contributing to it?
Yes, sir. I'm contributing about, I think, $1,000 a month into
that. What percent of your income is going into that? Do you know?
7%.
Okay, great. I think the goal is to get that up to 10 to 15%, Tucker, if you're able to.
Okay.
And I think that would be a great option. And then beyond that, if you guys have some additional surplus, I would love for you to think about funding a Roth IRA, and you and your wife even could do that. And that would be, you could open that at Schwab or Fidelity, any one of those, and just put it in to a high quality mutual fund. In terms of where you go from here, I want to send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. that'll help you get up to speed on how to invest from God's perspective. So you stay on the line, and we'll get that book right out to you. And then after you go through it, give me a call back if you have any other questions. You guys are doing a great job. Just bump up that retirement account and try to fund those Roth IRAs. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. That's going to do it for us. Thank you to Pat, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us next time. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.